What's up, guys? This is your host, Travis Woodham, and welcome back for episode number 2 on the T-Wood Show. So I'll be talking about the soccer club that has the largest youth pro academy in the entire USA, including all of USL and MLS teams. So I also will be interviewing the director of ticket operations of this club during this episode as well. So stick around and hear all about what it's like to work for a soccer club here in the USA that has the largest youth academy in the USA. So there will also be predictions on whether or not the USA women's team will defend the World Cup title or not, coming in 2019 in France next year. But speaking of the World Cup, what a game for England and Croatia. It was just back and forth. England scoring early. Felt like England was really controlling the game early on because Croatia was really just slashing at the ball, if you will, because of their tired legs. But man, they really started to turn it on after that goal that almost took off Kyle Walker's face to tie it up 1-1. And in extra time, man, Zukić. Man, it was all the difference in the world for him to be alert. And he was just a half step quicker than Stones and was able to put it in the back of the net going past Pickford, which, by the way, Pickford was playing amazing this tournament, goalkeeper for Everton. So props to him in England. Football is not coming home, unfortunately, for England. But for Croatia, they have all the reason to celebrate as they're going against France on the World Cup final this Sunday, which is going to be huge. But just a little known fact, too, I saw on FoxSoccer.com, they posted on an Instagram page that Luka Modric has run 39.1 miles so far in this World Cup. That is amazing, guys. This guy is a machine. He does not quit. He's probably one of the best midfielders in the world. I don't think many people would disagree with me on that. I would even say that he was, you know, probably the top midfielder in the world, maybe just behind Pogba. But it would be an amazing game to see Croatia take on France, Le Bleu, on Sunday and see who the winner of the World Cup in 2018 would be. So getting into the U.S. soccer news, I'm going to give you a little bit of a rundown that happened this week as far as U.S. soccer goes specifically. First of all, there is tons of rumors about Christian Pulisic going to Tottenham, as Tottenham supposedly had a $58 million bid for the young American. But according to Christian's dad, that is all, quote, hogwash, end quote. So there is nothing to get excited about for Tottenham fans, as there wasn't any type of credible source coming from that Tottenham bid. So that is basically all hogwash. I wish it were true. I'm really on the fence of being a Tottenham Hotspurs fan. I just really haven't committed yet. I'm kind of like an MLS guy. I want to be able to cheer for a team here in the States and basically just get all on board with. But I guess the team that I would adopt that is not in the USA, I would say probably Tottenham, just because they have had a lot of different Americans play for Tottenham. You think of Dempsey, Yedlin, Cherundolo, just some other guys like that. So anyway, I think it would be really cool to see Pulisic play in the EPL, but I don't think there's any real reason for him to leave Dortmund at this time. But that's just my take on it. And the second of all, you got Tyler Adams of the New York Red Bulls just signed a deal this past week, and he is going to the New York Leipzig club there in the Bundesliga, and he will be playing there next year as he's going to finish out his MLS season with the New York Red Bulls. But New York will actually receive 100% of any fee that comes up because of Adams is a homegrown player in the New York Red Bulls system. And according to the source that I looked up, I believe it was Fox Soccer. It says up to $750,000 of the fee of the $5 million transfer fee. It's a transfer fee of $5 million. $750,000 of that fee can be used as a general allocation money for the New York Red Bulls, while the remaining balance can be used to help pay a current or new designated player or for general investment in the sporting side of the team. So definitely some options there for the New York Red Bulls, as Tyler Adams, a young U.S. international player, is going to be playing in the Bundesliga along with Weston McKennie on Schalke and, of course, Christian Pulisic, the young American star at Dortmund. The next on the list that is big in the U.S. soccer news, you got David Beckham's Miami FC, which took forever, by the way, for them to finally get an MLS status. And they have all the time in the world, basically a limitless time in the world, to actually build this Miami Freedom Park, which is super nice. I mean, this thing is going to cost around $1 billion, and that's with the B, guys. Okay, $1 billion. It's a 25,000-seat, 600,000-square-feet of entertainment and restaurant space, 400,000-square-foot of office space, golf and entertainment facilities, 23 acres of public soccer fields, which that right there is perfect for Miami. I mean, if you want to get involved with the community, go ahead and give out 23 acres of free public soccer fields. That's huge. I mean, if you're a resident of Miami, you're going to want this Miami Freedom Park built ASAP. I mean, that is amazing that Miami has plans to do this. And on top of that, they get 750 hotel rooms on this Miami Freedom Park, as well as 110 acres of green space. Wow, that is amazing. So check that out on my Facebook. I posted a video of the renderings. Super cool. Travis Woodham, Facebook. Check that out. And lastly, we got DC United. Actually, second to last, we have DC United, who also is about to play in their brand new 20,000-seat stadium called Audi Field against the Vancouver Whitecaps next week on July 14th. So if you're definitely in the DC area, you know, please send me footage of this new stadium if you're going to that game on July 14th, who are DC United taking on Vancouver Whitecaps. And of course, Wayne Rooney, who has signed with DC United for this MLS season. I believe his debut might be on that day, or it might come later. I have to check on that. But that is big for DC. They finally are able to get a soccer-specific stadium, as I know that huge football stadium there that the Redskins play in is definitely way too big for a soccer team, especially in the DC area. But we got last on the list we have, as far as the U.S. international news goes, we have Bobby Wood. Okay, he actually just signed a deal to go on a one-year loan to Hanover, which that is a big deal because Hanover actually plays in the Bundesliga, the top Bundesliga, and his team that owns Bobby Wood, Hamburg, will be playing in two Bundesliga. So Bobby will have a chance to play in the top division of the German league, also joining Tyler Adams, Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie. So those are, you know, I feel like Germany has really taken the charge on taking in these young American kids. So I feel like they're in the right spot to mainly grow their skills and eventually, who knows, maybe come over to the MLS. But I feel like at this time in their career, I feel like they need to be getting against the best competition in the world. So definitely stay in that German league or in the Spanish league or EPL. Stay overseas for now. Get better. Then, you know, show up for the U.S. international team. Then maybe, you know, halfway out of your prime, come to the MLS. Help out the MLS guys. But that's it for the U.S. soccer news. So check out my Facebook page. Like I mentioned before, I got posts about these things that I mentioned. You can always send me an email or just, a message on Facebook. If you have any ideas or if you hear any type of U.S. soccer news, please hit me up on Facebook, or you can email me at thetwoodshow@gmail.com. But let's dive into which club has the largest youth-to-pro academy in the USA. This club, believe it or not, is a United Soccer League club. So it's a USL club. For those of you who do not know what the USL stands for, obviously you probably will, or else you won't be listening to this podcast unless I know you personally. So I hate to just dumb you down, but I'm just going to say it anyway. The United Soccer League is the USL. It's the second division of US soccer, just behind Major League Soccer, which is MLS. They are the top division in soccer. So this club, who has the highest youth pro academy in the entire USA, is the North Carolina Football Club, or NCFC Youth for short. Right here in Raleigh, North Carolina, or you could say Cary, which Cary hosts Wake Med Soccer Park, where NCFC plays. But here in the Triangle, you have the largest youth to pro soccer academy in the USA. So it's huge, and I'm really proud of the fact that I live here. I have tons of resources. And for those of you who are not aware of where I live, Raleigh is about 15 minutes of a drive from me, from Clayton, North Carolina. So I'm definitely proud of this fact, but there are some stats about the North Carolina Football Club that I want you guys to know. There is two huge soccer clubs that used to be here in this area that decided to join together from one large pool of two separate teams, youth teams, called Capital Area Soccer League. It's called CASL, is what we call it here in the Triangle. And you got Triangle Football Club Alliance, TFCA. So those two youth clubs have agreed to make a deal to become the new NCFCY. So they became the new North Carolina Football Club Youth. And I checked this online. You guys can check this up as well. But the NCFC Youth have an aggregate of 20,000 members, approximately. That is huge. That's a lot of kids playing soccer here in this youth academy. So 20,000 kids, largest in the USA. A little bit about North Carolina Football Club. They rebranded in December of 2016 from the Carolina Railhawks to now the North Carolina Football Club. The ownership is owned by Stephen Malik, who purchased this team when that rebranding happened, and also bought the National Women's Soccer League team, the New York Flash, and renamed them the North Carolina Courage. Which, by the way, the North Carolina Courage is insane right now. They're in first place. They basically are, I believe, like 12 points away from clinching their second season title in only their second year. And they went to the final against the Portland Thorns last year in 2017. They lost that game, I believe, 1-0. But man, that was their inaugural season. And they literally tore it up. So the North Carolina Courage is amazing to watch. If you're here in the Triangle area, you got to come out to that game. Come out to the women's game. Come out to the men's game. You will not be disappointed. But anyways, going back to the youth, the NCFC is still trying to become the next MLS expansion team as we speak. So they're definitely in the works with that. And, you know, having the largest youth to pro academy in the States is definitely a great foundation. Definitely something Don Garber is going to want to look at and seek out something that, you know, a club that has a foundation first, like a youth academy. And of course, what the next step for, you know, the MLS jump for NCFC would be the stadium. There is renderings of the stadium. It's going to basically sit right downtown Raleigh, which I love that. It's a lot closer for me here in Clayton to drive to downtown Raleigh than it is to go out to Cary. But you can look this up. They have videos of the renderings. It looks super sleek, super awesome. But I'm really hoping NCFC will become the next MLS team just after FC Cincinnati, who will be playing in the MLS in the 2019 season. But I want to, as you're going to hear a little bit later, actually coming up right next, you're going to hear an interview that I had with the director of ticket operations, Amy Deletre, or Delariat. Not Delariat, Deletre. She says it best. I mean, she'll say her name in there. So I'm so sorry, Amy. I totally botched your last name. I'm so sorry about that. but you can correct me as you speak in this interview with me. So check out this interview. It's going to come up next. What it's like for Amy to be the director of ticket sales and her thoughts about the North Carolina Youth being the largest youth academy from youth to pro system in America. So here it is, right here.
Amy, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Can you hear me?
I can. This is good. I accidentally closed out Facebook for like two seconds.
Okay.
Oh, crap. Anyway, we're back on here. So just so you know, I am recording this. Obviously, it's a podcast, so just FYI.
Here, let me go outside so I can hear you a little bit better. I got a loud air conditioner. What did you say?
Sure. No, I was just saying, I just wanted to let you know, yeah, this is for my podcast, so it will be recorded. I just want to make sure you're okay with this.
Yeah, that's fine. I've been on a podcast before, so it's about Doctor Who, not soccer.
Are you serious? That's awesome. What was that about? Like the Doctor Who, the show?
Yeah, it was... I'm in a Doctor Who group, meetup group, so the podcast people are interviewing our group, so
that's
how
awesome.
I got on there.
That's super cool, man. That's awesome. Yeah, so I'm super new to this podcasting thing, and I just feel like interviews are really cool because it gives a second opinion. It's not just me talking about a certain topic the whole time, you know? It gives
right.
a little bit different context. But anyway, thanks for joining in. Would love to have you on the show because basically I'm talking about the largest youth to pro academy that's right here smack dab in Raleigh, North Carolina, because NCFC is the largest youth to pro academy in the States.
It is.
Which is crazy because nobody really knew that, and I was like, well, it's amazing, and I think it's a really good thing for us to have, if we're trying to go MLS, I feel like it's a great foundation for us to have that, a vast academy system, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of, to be honest, that's been a long-term goal of the company. I remember when I first interviewed, they had mentioned something of wanting to do that. I think it was going to be a little bit more long-term, but when Steve Malik came on board, it became short term. It kind of became, we were already working with like Castle and TFCA on a daily basis. And what's kind of great about the youth clubs here, so many of our players have coached kids come to the games, they see their coaches on the field. So it's kind of, that connection was kind of already there. So it just kind of made sense to kind of build NCFCY. It was kind of a long process because I didn't know this right until we merged the two teams together, that in Castle and TSCA were actually kind of competitors for a while.
Yes, they were. That's
great. So I think that's another accomplishment in itself that we brought two kind of competing clubs together kind of as a family. And mm-hmm. I think it has kind of brought, because one of our hashtags on social media is NCFC fam. And it has kind of made the family that much bigger. And it's cool now that we have the women's team. We've got the girls developmental academy, the boys as well. And they start young. We do from like 5, 6 to like 18. Then hopefully the kind of dream is to, once they hit 18, play for the PDL team, and then eventually the big, the starting team, the lead club, NCFC. So it's kind of cool to see kind of that progression, for the players.
Right.
Someone like, trying to think, Nazmi, even though he plays for FC Cincinnati,
He's
kind of like the perfect example of played in the area, played PDL, played for NCFC. You know, he kind of went through each part of the organization. So even though he's not playing for us, he's still kind of our dream story, you know,
uh-huh.
and we're hoping to have more players too on the boys and girls side.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and I believe he went to NC State as well, didn't he?
Correct.
Yeah. And he's awesome. I remember him. I remember when I first started to work game day staff. And he was one of the first players I noticed that was really talented on the team. And you could tell, he was the captain of the squad. I mean, and he had all the intangibles, like very good technical skills. And I think, FC Cincinnati, who are going to become the next expansion club for MLS, I think they saw the talent in him. And I'm assuming he's going to be on the MLS squad, right?
Yeah, he did. Unfortunately, since we haven't got our bid yet, FC Cincinnati was able to offer him a guaranteed contract to be on the MLS team. So, but we're still happy for his success because ultimately his success is our success as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And hopefully, down the road, we'll produce many, 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 many players like him with this big, huge academy that we have. But tell me a little bit about yourself and kind of your role there at NCFC and the Courage. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I guess I can officially introduce myself, Amy Deletri. My title is Director of Ticket Operations. I guess in a nutshell, I do a lot.
Yes.
I kind of feel like I'm on the rope for everyone. But kind of my day-to-day job, I guess we'll kind of start out with what I do kind of since we're in season. Angela and I, who's my box office manager, Angela Winstead, we both keep up to date our ticketing system, which is eTix. We build the links. We do the pricing. We help the sales team kind of use the system as well. We also do the day-to-day at the box office, helping the staff set up, doing the money, helping them know how to sell tickets. And then during game day, we do full setup of the box office, selling at the window. I kind of handle that part, making sure all the sellers know what they're selling during the day. Also kind of helping with problems as they come up. Angela deals with will call, which is kind of the fun part of the job.
Yeah. My wife does that, which is
she
cool.
Deals with all the customers coming up, picking up their tickets. We kind of tag team the staffing. She does the day-to-day scheduling. I do the payroll. And then we kind of tag team the hiring as well. And then I do the reporting. I do all game day reports as well. And also, Angela and I do all the printing. So anytime a ticket order goes through, it's our responsibility to print it as well and kind of execute those orders too. During the off season, it kind of shifts the season tickets. We process all the orders for all the sales reps with their season ticket holders. They make the initial call. They book it. They sell it. And then I charge it. Angela and I both keep track of it in our reporting as well. So that's kind of the off season. Kind of on the side, some other positions that we do. I've been on the promo team, kind of helping plan our game platforms this year. I used to work in minor league baseball, so know a lot about promotions.
I bet you do.
And then, yeah, and Angela helps with our membership sides, and what we call our membership is anyone that has a season ticket, 18 flex plan, as well as an NCFCY player. They all have memberships, and what that means is they're on the list. If we get an MLS bid, they're on the list to be able to pick their tickets. So it's the biggest benefit they have, and they also get some other benefits during the season, like gifts and opportunity to go out in the field. So that's kind of everything in a nutshell.
That sounds like a lot, Amy, and you do great work, and I feel like you wear lots of hats there at NCFC, am I right?
Yeah, maybe a little too much.
Well, hey, I mean, how long have you been working there, by the way?
I'm going into, it's 3.5 seasons now. December 8th will be my fourth, finalizing my fourth season.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, tell me what is like one thing you really enjoy about you being the director of ticket operations? Is there one particular thing that you really enjoy doing?
I can't pick one.
I know it's all work, but
I think probably the biggest is I love serving people. I love giving people good experiences at the games. I love seeing people, hearing people when they say, oh, I had the best time the last time we came to a game. I was sitting in these seats. So I take a lot of pride in, you know, giving them that best experience that I can, as well as teaching our staff how to get that best experience too. Mm-hmm. And also love our game day staff as well.
Thank you, Amy.
That's probably my other favorite part. That's when I worked at the Suns, the minor league baseball team that I worked for, our box office staff. We became close quickly, and I kind of feel like now that we're in our third season all together, it's kind of become one big family. So yeah. I love that part too.
That's super cool. And if I haven't told you guys, those people who are listening right now, I actually do work under Amy as a game day staff member, which I'm super privileged and honored to do so. So thank you, Amy, for your leadership. Seriously, it's awesome. And it's a great opportunity for people, you know, just to do something on the side, make a little bit of cash here and there, and, you know, get the experience, which I think is super valuable, especially, like, if you're an intern in college or anything like that, wanting to work in sports, this is, like, a perfect opportunity to work at a game day staff. So are you guys always looking kind of just to hire, you know, interns and stuff like that just throughout the summer? Because I know there's some turnover, right?
Yeah, I mean, because Angela and I, we always have people kind of coming in different parts during the year. So I love working with students, even if it's just a couple hours a week or, you know, full internship. I'm kind of willing to make it work because we could always use the help. Exactly. And it's always, you know, sometimes it's not glamorous working in the box office. I will say that. But you do get a lot of good experience working there. So, and you also get to meet some cool people too. So I try to like make it fun some days, but some days you got to do a boring ticket list. It comes with the territory. So, but yeah, definitely looking for more. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Now, this wasn't on the list as far as, you know, preparing you for this interview, but what do you think is one of the biggest challenges, just one big challenge in selling tickets to this specific soccer community here in Raleigh and Cary and places like that? What do you think is one kind of big challenge for you and the staff as far as ticket sales goes?
I think probably the biggest challenge is, even though this is a very, like, thick, passionate soccer community, everyone's got a commitment to another team.
Right.
Kind of like when I was back home, I'm actually from Jacksonville, Florida, and a lot of the smaller colleges that we had in Jacksonville actually had a football team, but everyone was committed to like Florida State, Florida. It's kind of the opposite here. People have commitments, whether it's to a national team, whether it's to an English premiership team, heck, even an MLS team. I kind of feel like people's commitment, especially on the guy's side, I wouldn't say so much on the women's side, but on the guy's side, it's very, everyone's got a commitment elsewhere, you know? So it's kind of, we're having to kind of, I don't want anyone not to go for their team, but try to accept having another team, I think, is probably the biggest thing.
Right. And I feel like you guys do a great job, I think, with the promotions and stuff for the people here in, you know, in our community here in the Triangle. With the different promotions you guys do, I think, you know, Faith and Family Night or something's coming up, isn't there?
Yeah, we're actually our next men's game is actually 21st. We're actually doing a couple of things that game. It's our Kicks for Kids night, which is probably our most proudest kind of game. That's kind of the wrong way to say that word.
It's
what we do. Every year we kind of get a company, they sponsor and buy a bunch of tickets, and then we get the tickets out to groups that don't really have an opportunity to come to a soccer game. So that's coming up. And then also during that night, it's also our camp night. So any of our kids who went to an NCSCY camp are going to get honored on the field that night. And then July 28th is our Faith and Family Night. And we got a lot of great discounts for churches as well coming out. And then we're going to have his radio come out as well for the game. So it should be those two next games should be really awesome. And then our next women's game is not until August 5th. But you definitely don't want to miss out on that one because we're playing the Portland Thorns. And that is the team we lost to last year in the finals. So
and
it's going to be an intense game.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of the courage, for the listeners out there, North Carolina women's team called the North Carolina Courage, actually their first inaugural season was last year, 2017, and they made it all the way to the final game, the championship game, and I believe lost to the Portland Thorns. And so that's why Amy was saying how big of a game it will be, because the Portland Thorns will be here in Raleigh playing against our girls, North Carolina Courage. So definitely a game you do not want to miss. I think it's going to be very entertaining. And I feel like, too, Amy, that the Courage has a great team. They're in first place right now. And I think that our ticket sales for the Courage team has really been high, I feel like.
Yeah, we've actually had high attendance the past couple games. Last time I checked, I believe we're third in the attendance of the league.
Wow.
We definitely want room for improvement. But yeah, our girls, I think after this, we won last night. I want to say the game before this, we're actually 15 points away from clinching. And then, which probably is now 12 points from clinching.
Wow.
And then I think we're 13 points away from having the highest points ever in league history for clinching.
That's crazy. Now, that is amazing. And I know there's a few international players, specifically a few for the USA, but we have plenty of other girls. I know there's a Japanese national player that plays left back for the Courage, I think. And we got, I think, Zerboni, Mewis. We also got Crystal Dunn, I believe. And I think there's another girl I'm missing. But we have a ton, I feel like, on the U.S. national team for the Courage, don't we?
Yeah, we actually, for U.S., we just signed Heather O'Reilly. We got Sam Mewis, McCall Zabroni, Lynn Williams, and then Jalen Hinkle. There was some controversy with her, but she does technically have U.S. She has a cap up there. And then for international players, we got Denise O'Sullivan, who plays for Ireland. We got Davina, who plays for Brazil. And then we got, she's been hurt, though, but she's also on the Canadian national team or has had caps. Sabrina D'Angelo, or Sabs, as we like to call her, she plays for Team Canada.
Wow.
So I think that's like 6, 7, 8 on the various national teams for the league. So
that is amazing. I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons why the Courage has been playing so well is because we have such a high quality players, I feel like, that are on the team. And speaking of the U.S. women's team, I believe the World Cup is next year, 2019, in France. And the U.S. women are defending champions. So do you think they can defend the title in 2019, Amy?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know what? You can see half their roster playing here in North Carolina.
Yeah. And that's a huge plus. You know, just being able to see such an awesome quality product right here in the Triangle. So if you guys are living here in Raleigh or Clayton or Garner, wherever you're at, Cary, come out to these games. You're missing a ton if you don't, because it's a big pool of talent that we have here, both on the men's and women's side. So thank you again, Amy, for taking the time for an interview.
Of course.
I really appreciate it and all you do as a director of ticket operations there with
NCSC
and the Courage.
Awesome. Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome. Have a great night, Amy.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right, bye.
Well, that wraps up episode number 2, explaining who is the largest youth to pro academy in the United States, and that's the North Carolina Football Club Youth, which is super cool. So thank you guys for taking a listen. I have my podcast being distributed through Anchor, which is super cool. Putting my podcast out there to Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Overcast, and as well as Anchor and many, many others, Stitcher as well even. So check those out. Please give me a little applause if you like this episode. Would love to hear from you as well. You can email me at thetwoodshow@gmail.com or hit me up on Facebook, Travis Woodham. You can find me right there, or on Instagram, Travis Woodham as my Instagram handle. Thanks, guys, and I'll talk to you next week. Peace.